We're certainly happy that you're here tonight, especially those that are visiting with us. We appreciate you coming and being with us this evening, Wednesday evening. We're going to be having a singing the last Wednesday night of the month, so if you have the opportunity in the area, come back and visit with us at that time. Again, to fill out the papers that Jason left for us to fill out for the directory of those who come in after the announcements have been made. How important that is for us to go ahead and be involved in that as well. We appreciate those that are listening tonight over the internet as well, and certainly we ask that you follow along concerning the things that we have to say to see that they're true and acceptable and in accordance with God's will. And Daniel in chapter 2, at the end of Daniel chapter 2, it says that King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and did homage to Daniel. This is found in verse 46, and gave orders to present to him an offering and fragrant incense. And the king answered Daniel and said, "Surely your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery." And then the king promoted Daniel, gave him great gifts, made him a ruler with the whole province of Babylon, a chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of Babylon, while Daniel was at the king's court. And you think in your mind that Nebuchadnezzar is starting to change a little bit, maybe to switch over a little bit, maybe to believe finally in the God of heaven. But then we see in Daniel in chapter 3 that great story of the young men. And that's what we're going to look at for just a few moments tonight in this, and to talk about the faith of these young men. First of all, we'll see tonight, and there are about seven points to be made here, but they'll be rather quick tonight, and then the lesson will be yours. One point is that their faith is going to be challenged. Their faith is going to be challenged. That's point number one. Nebuchadnezzar in chapter 3 and in verse 1 said, "Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold, and the height of which was 60 cubits, and the width 6 cubits. And he set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, sent word to assemble the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, all the rulers of the provinces to come to the dedication of the image of Nebuchadnezzar that the king had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects, the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the judges, the magistrates, all the rulers of the provinces were assembled for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up. And when they stood before the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king had set up, then a herald loudly proclaimed, and the command is given to the peoples, the nations, every man, every language, that at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, you are to fall down and worship the image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be immediately cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire." So here we see the very beginning of this study, that they have a challenge. They have a challenge to their faith. And a challenge, an image or an idol, is the means of the challenge. But of course, the real challenge is going to come by the king, Nebuchadnezzar. Now, we wouldn't be too challenged by idolatry, we think in our own minds, certainly over in Isaiah. And in chapter 44, and in verse 14 through 17, Isaiah chapter 44, verses 14 through 17, he talks about that of idolatry. In chapter 44, and in verse 14 beginning, it says, chapter 44 of Isaiah, verse 14, "Surely he cuts cedars for himself and takes a cypress or an oak or raises it for himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a fir and the rain makes it grow. And then becomes something for the man to burn, so that he takes one of them and he warms himself. And also he makes the fire to bake bread. He also makes a god and worships it, and he makes it a graven image and falls down before it. Half of it he burns in the fire. Half of it he eats meat that he roasts a roast and is satisfied. He also warms himself and says, "Aha, I am warm, I have seen the fire." But the rest of it he makes into a god, a graven image, so that he falls down before and worships. And he prays to it and says, "Deliver me, for you are my God." Of course, we think how ridiculous that is, to cut a piece of wood, use part of it for a fire to warm yourself, to use part of it for a fire to bake some bread or to make something to eat, and then at the same time to take part of that wood and to make an idol as well. And certainly we would be more sophisticated than that in our lives today. Worship those things that we cannot speak, act, respond, that cannot reach out to us. And of course, we think about dangers of the church. A lot of times you hear preachers talk about in sermons, dangers of the church. And for years they would talk about institutionalism being the greatest danger within the Lord's church today. But I think probably the greatest danger with the people of God today is that of worldliness. It just seems like that seems to be the problem. That seems to be like the image that people are worshiping today. It might be something as simple as fashionable clothes. It might be that of a finer home. It might be luxury automobiles. It might be financial independence. None of these things are inherently sinful, but at the same time, all of which may become an idol to challenge the person. There's something else that we see here. Not only do we see the faith that is challenged, but we also see a faith that is accused. In chapter 3 and in verses 8 through 12, chapter 3 verses 8 through 12, it says, Daniel chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "For this reason at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and brought charges against the Jews. And they responded and said to Nebuchadnezzar the king, 'O king, live forever. You, O king, have made the decree that by every man who hears the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, tagon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, all kinds of music is to fall down and worship the golden image. But he who does not fall down and worship the image shall be cast in the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And there are certain Jews among you whom you have appointed.'" Seems like this idea keeps on running throughout the book of Daniel. That they keep on trying to catch, whether it's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or whether it's Daniel in some sin that he's not doing according to the king's mandates. And, of course, this is the situation here. Verse 12 again, "There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Do you worry? Do you worry about what people say about you? Or maybe worry about your faith? Young people worry about being accepted into peer groups, especially when they choose not to participate many times in sinful activity. Many times they're ostracized from the peer groups. And we don't need to kid ourselves. Adults many times feel the same way. There's a challenge that goes on within our lives as well. But a Christian who walks by faith many times is going to have their faith accused. In Ephesians and in chapter 5 and in verses 7 through 11, Ephesians chapter 5 and in verses 7 through 11, Ephesians 5 and in verses 7 through 11, it says in verse 7, "Therefore do not be partakers with them, for you were formerly darkness, but now you are children, but you are the light of the Lord, walk as children in the light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. And all these things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. So we see their faith that starts to be accused here. Have you heard about these fellows over here? These three young fellows, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they're not, when this music goes off, they're not going and they're not bowing toward the plain of Dura. What are you going to do about that? Well, their faith is accused. Well, in Daniel chapter 3 and in verses 13 through 15, their faith is threatened here. Their faith is threatened. In verse 13 beginning, it says, Nebuchadnezzar in a rage and anger gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men were brought before the king. Nebuchadnezzar responded and said to them, Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now, if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, tagon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, all kinds of music, you're to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you do not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? A few people in the Bible have ever been threatened with a crematorium such as this one. We all know something about subtle threats that maybe have occurred in our lifetime. Maybe that of a social threat to where you're not going to be a part of this group. Maybe that of a security threat. Maybe you better drink when people at work go out and drink. Maybe you better carouse. Maybe you better do this and that, because if you want to get ahead in this company, you're going to do those things. So it might be a security threat. Might be a security threat toward your job or something else. But here, we see both the request being made and the price for refusing. If you don't do it, when this music goes off and you choose not to look toward Dura and to bow down toward the gods of Nebuchadnezzar, I'm going to throw you into the furnace. You know, a lot of times today, we don't mean things with our children. We tell our children, sometimes they hear people tell their children all the time, if you don't behave, I'm going to spank you. And they tell them 5, 10, 15, 20 times, if you don't behave, I'm going to spank you. And they just keep on saying that. And the children know, 2 years old, 3 years old, they know their mom and dad are lying, because they're not going to spank them, because they never do spank them. When the kids were at home with me, there wasn't any three strikes. I mean, it was one strike and they were out. And that was it. They were spanked. But here we see what occurs. What occurs with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Well, we move on. And the fourth thing we see is their faith is declared. In chapter 3 and in verses 16 through 18, there is an affirmation of the genuine belief in the ability of God. And this is what they say. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we're not going to serve your gods or to worship your golden image that you have set up. If God wants to deliver us, he's able. He's able to do that. But at the same time, if he doesn't want to do that, if he wants to let us die in this fiery furnace, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not going to give in. Just go ahead. throw us into the fire. Lord didn't promise it was going to be easy. Lord didn't promise that these boys wouldn't have been cremated. No doubt when people are baptized, a lot of times when they're baptized into Christ, I try to tell them and to reinforce the fact that, yes, they walk in a newness of life, but at the same time, many times your life doesn't change. You still have many problems that you still had to deal with before. You might have somebody that still hates you. You might still have somebody that's unkind to you. But because you are a child of God, you'll handle that. You'll handle that in a different way now. But we see here concerning these young men, it's okay. It's okay. If you want to throw us in the fire, that's all right. Chapter 3, verses 19 through verse 23. This is their faith on the line. Their faith on the line. Chapter 3, verses 19 through 23, Nebuchadnezzar gets mad. Chapter 3, verse 19. Then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with wrath, and his facial expression was altered toward Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He answered by giving orders to heat the furnace 7 times more than it had actually been heated. He commanded certain valiant warriors that were in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in order to cast them into the furnace of flaming fire. Then these men were tied up in their trousers, their coats, their caps, their outer clothes, and they were cast into the midst of the blazing fire. And for this reason, because the king's command was urgent and the fire had been made extremely hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that carried up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell into the midst of the furnace of blazing fire, still tied up. Nebuchadnezzar, okay. You talk a good game. You talk a good game, you three fellas. Let's see if you're bluffing now. Heat that fire up 7 times hotter than it is already. And we'll see how you handle that. Maybe some people today have children between the ages of maybe 15 to 21 years old. And maybe you would respond to how you would think that you would want your youngsters to put their faith on the line like that. Some of us would intervene and say, "Oh, just go ahead. Go ahead and bow down on the plain of Dura there to that idol. It doesn't mean anything. You can just repent to God tomorrow or tonight, and it'll all be over, and you can just stay away from this problem with Nebuchadnezzar." They didn't do that. They laid it on the line. Make it 7 times hotter. These men believed in God, yes. They refused to compromise and bow down to the image, yes. They were not ashamed to profess their faith to the king, yes. God was aware of all that, yes. And still they were thrown into the fire. We find it easy to come into these four walls here. Not many times, I suppose, have people been challenged by coming into these four walls. But the question is, what does God want us to do when we get to the point of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? And of course, what we do within these four walls is supposed to prepare us for if those things ever happen when we leave these four walls many times. Well, the sixth point is their faith is vindicated. This is found in chapter 3 and in verses 24 through verse 27. Chapter 3, verse 24 through verse 27. We're almost to the end of this now. It says, Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded, and stood up in haste, and he said to his high officials, "Was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire?" And they replied to the king, "Certainly, O king." And he said, "Look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like the son of the gods." And Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of blazing fire, and he responded and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God, and come here." And then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out the midst of the fire. The satraps, the prefects, the governor, the king's high officials gathered around and saw in regard to these men that the fire had no effect on their bodies of these men, nor was the hair of their head singed, nor their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Their faith vindicated. These boys were proved to be right by the stand that they took. Ladies and gentlemen, one day your faith is going to be vindicated in the middle of all creation. On the day of judgment, when he says to you, "Well done, good and faithful servant," you'll be proven to be right all along. In Mark chapter 14, and in verses 61 and 62, Mark chapter 14, verses 61 and 62, Mark chapter 14 and in verse 61, it says, "But he kept silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest was questioning him, saying, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?' And Jesus said, 'I am. And you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven.'" There was no deliverance from the Lord at that time. But the next time they see the Lord. In Philippians chapter 2, and in verses 9 and 10, Philippians chapter 2, and in verses 9 and 10, it says in verse 9, "For this reason God highly exalted him and bestowed on him every name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth." And the last point here, and the lesson will be yours, and that is their faith was triumphant. This is found at the very end, verses 28 through verse 30. It says, "Nebuchadnezzar responded and said, 'Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.'" How many times did Nebuchadnezzar say that? Whether it be with Daniel or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants to put their trust in him, violating the king's command and yielded up their bodies so as not to serve or to worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I shall make a decree that any people, nation, or tongue that speaks anything offensive against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn limb from limb and their houses reduced to a rubbish heap, inasmuch as there is no other God who is able to deliver in this way." And then the king calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to prosper in the province of Babylon. They overcame. You study the book of Revelation. The theme of the book of Revelation, they overcame. The question is tonight, what about you and me? We see concerning these three young men here and what they were able to accomplish within their life. I don't know if they're ever recorded again in the Bible or not. But I tell you what, this testimony here within chapter 3 stands to let us know that you can have a great faith in God and triumph. You might be in the audience tonight, not a Christian, understand the condition that you're in, needing a Savior to be baptized in the Lord Jesus. Or for those that need to come back to the first love, I invite you to come now. While together we stand, we sing.